You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Jordan Smith wins his maiden European Tour title after a playoff in Germany to continue his meteoric rise.
Yeah, no, it's all a bit surreal. I mean, obviously challenged for last year, Europa the year before that, so it's been fun.
We'll speak exclusively to Jordan Smith shortly. Alex Levy was so close to retaining his Porsche European Open title, and the Frenchman sees the positives in his performance despite defeat at the second extra hole.
I really, really play well, and I think it's a lot of good things coming for me the next few months.
Meanwhile, Bernard Langer wins a record 10th senior major, this time at the Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex.
It's always great to win, obviously. Another major. This is my third one of the year. It's been an amazing run, and I'm very pleased and very blessed.
Stay with us for a full review of the week's action before we look ahead to the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at the Firestone Country Club in Ohio. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Jamie Spence. Jamie, been a busy boy again?
Very, very busy, yeah. Rob. Busy golfing week. It's the rump of the season just after the opening Porsche European Open, Seniors Championship. And in Sweden, we had the Challenge Tour as well. So, yeah, busy.
You can tell us all about your exploits down at Royal Porthcawl. First of all, let's concentrate what happened at the Porsche European Open, a bad weather week in Hamburg on a brand new golf course, Green Eagle. But Jordan Smith came out on top. But he had to beat Alex Levy, who won the playoff last year against Ross Fischer, to win his first title.
And he won a playoff early this year, didn't he, Levy, in the Volvo China Open as well. So he likes a playoff, Levy. It didn't go his way this time. Golf course that can measure 8,500 yards off the tips. They didn't play it like that, but they played pretty long way back. I mean, it's just an incredibly long golf course. And when it rains as well, it just plays even longer.
I can't think of the last time I consistently saw players hitting woods into par fours.
Well, I was down at the seniors, Rob, so we had a good chat this morning about it all. And what you're saying, there's four par fives the last 10 holes on this golf course.
Five? Yeah.
It's just incredible, isn't it? And the length of this course. And so you expect the longer hitters, and Jordan Smith's a very powerful hitter, so is Levine. You just look down the leaderboard as well. Xander Lombard's a long hitter, Ed Fors. So, yeah, it was going to go that way.
I'll tell you the person on that leaderboard that's not a long hitter.
Siddhartha
Rahman.
Yeah,
Siddhartha Rahman.
Yeah.
How he got around that golf course and finished third, I have no idea.
I agree.
He was laying up at par threes.
Yeah.
He
hits about 270 max, doesn't
he? Oh, he's not hitting it that far. No, I mean,
yeah, so
some of his shots, tee shots, they look normal, swing, swish, whoosh, the tracer, and it would come down in an area. We think that's not actually that far on the fairway.
Yeah, well, that's an incredible performance.
Amazing. Just shows how
great round the greens is.
He was amazing. And he made an amazing par at the last after hitting his layup in the water and then up and downed it from, I don't know what club he used to hit in there, but he got it in there to about 8 or 9 feet and he holed it for a par, which was huge for him.
He's been a good player on the Asian Tour
for
a number of years now. So,
well, he knows what he's doing.
Just
lacking power, which Jordan Smith does not lack. And it was a fascinating tussle between pretty much him and Alex Levy. Other people were in the frame, but you always felt it was between those two in the final round.
Yeah, well, he's been on the radar, hasn't he, Jordan Smith? He's had a terrific season already. Very, very consistent. Already got his tour card. And really, once he's got that, he can sort of freewheel a bit and try and play for the win. He's been a winner all his life, from his amateur career into the Euro Pro, which he won, and then on the Challenge Tour last year, a couple of wins on that. So his progression's been, well, consistent, but you'd have to say meteoric. You'd have to say the last 3 years he's won, and he's won at every level.
And in the steps.
Yeah, the steps.
Win the steps.
And you've got to say, where can he go?
Yeah.
Why can't you just keep progressing? Because
I don't think he has to do anything.
No,
you know,
I don't think so either.
To where you are now and think you've got to change things. That's what mistake a lot of players make.
Agreed.
They get to the point where they do well or they win their first event and they think, right, this phrase that really bugs me is get to the next level. Just continue the progression. Just fine polish what you're doing.
Well, I think to get to the next level, which you hate, it's all about the short game. You can't be good enough around the greens. And if you just gradually improve and just get a little bit better at the bunkers, a little bit better with your chipping,
sure,
and putting, that's going to make the difference because he hits the ball brilliantly.
He does. A beautiful striker he is, Jordan Smith. And playing with Alex Levy, who just has a go at everything.
He's great to watch,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he's great. He's great television. He really is. He just literally line him up, where's the flag, and he fires at it. And
it's, he's a great player to watch.
Yep.
Just gives it a rip on his tiptoes when he hits it. Thomas Bjorn would have enjoyed watching yesterday because I'm Levy in the Ryder Cup team would be in Paris would be fantastic. He's going the right way.
Yeah.
He's looking strong. He looks a great match player. Well, we'll see. He's still got it all to do, obviously, but he's going the right way, as is our winner, Jordan Smith.
Two brilliant young players, really, going toe-to-toe.
Absolutely, great to watch.
Yeah. And then, of course, the last extra hole, Alex, who'd missed a few greens and up and down it. You talked about the short game there. He played some master strokes with his lob wedge around the greens to keep himself in it, and then he makes a valuable birdie to get in front. One shot lead up the last, didn't make his birdie, and of course Jordan Smith did. Extra time, and they go down and both par the hole because Alex Levy missed a 2.5-footer to win.
Yeah, you were saying he rushed it a little bit.
He did.
Yeah, you felt maybe he was just trying to get over the nerves to someone. I thought, right, I'm just going to get in and hit this, and well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're the most difficult ones to hole, I think. Those
he hadn't
shorties.
Looked like missing a short one all day.
Yeah, and also, there's a lot of bravery when you take shots on from distance and off the tee, but there's also quite a lot of bravery when you're trying to stiff bunker shots and hit chips, because it's so easy with the rough around the greens and you play tournament golf to duff it in front of you too.
No, sure.
There's a lot of bravery involved around the greens, which Alex Levy showed in abundance at the weekend.
He did, and Jordan Smith got up and down from a horrible position behind the green, coming out of thick rough. You couldn't even see the ball, landing on a downslope, running down the hole, and he got it to probably... 7 feet, and that was as good a shot as he could have. That's as close he could have got it, and he holed it to force extra time. Then the two pars, and then the Jordan Smith birdie to win it.
What's your philosophy in a playoff, Rob? Just go for it.
Oh, I think yeah. I like the number one to hit my tee shot first.
And, I agree.
And have a chance of putting the other guy under pressure. At least you have the chance to do that. You don't really have the chance if you go second.
Yeah, there's a. Shall I just play safe, or shall I have a? I think you've got to take it on.
Yeah, in your lifetime, you'll count on one hand. You'll never get the two hands if it's an ordinary or a good career. How many playoffs you get into? So there's your chance. You know, you're guaranteed second. You have a go.
Yeah, I agree with that. You don't want to be driving to the airport thinking, what if?
Yeah, oh, I only wish I'd have taken that on, or I should have tried, whatever. Yeah, I think you're in the green light zone. Just have a go. I'll tell you what we should do. We should actually talk to the latest winner on the European Tour, Jordan Smith. Just arrived back in the country. Jordan, after that win yesterday, you must feel pretty special.
Thanks, Amber. Yeah, no, I'm over the moon. Yeah, just delighted with how the whole week has gone. And yeah, just speechless still, to be honest.
Before we get into the final round, just tell us how well you felt you played on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it was probably one of the best rounds of my life, to be honest. I mean, tee to green the whole week, it was probably the best I'd ever played. And struggled a little on the greens because they were tough, but no, it sort of all came together at the right time.
So you sort of work out your tee time, you go to bed, you think, I'm going to get out, have breakfast at that time, I'll get to the course, do my range stuff, get to the putting green, and boom, I tee off. And then there's a two-hour delay. How did that set you back, or if it did at all?
Yeah, we literally stepped onto the range, I hit a couple of balls, and then the hooter went. So we had to just go back inside, just sit down, grab a coffee, just take your mind off things, and reset once you got going again.
So with the lead going into the final day, did you say to yourself, you know, if I shoot 69, maybe the nearest challenger's got to shoot 66 to beat me? Or did you have a number in mind or not, or just go with it?
I didn't have a number, to be honest, because I knew the conditions going to be tough. So I just sort of went out just thinking, if I play like I did on the Saturday or even Thursday, Friday, just stick to my game plan, then all the things should go well.
Very long golf course, Jordan. Do you think that suits your game? Yeah. Obviously it does.
Yeah, no, probably driving the ball was probably the strongest part of my game, and I wouldn't say I'm short off the tee either, so it definitely helped me out that week, I think.
So in extra time, you're sort of coming down the stretch, you're playing with Alex Levy, you made some amazing up and downs, by the way, to stay in it and stay in touch, and eventually got in front, he sneaked in front.
Yeah, no, he's got some serious short game on him. So I sort of went behind with a few to play, but I just thought I got a couple of par fives coming in and thought I just needed to make four of them and just take advantage.
When you played the first playoff hole, because you birdied the last hole to force a playoff, when you played the first playoff hole, you didn't make your birdie because you had a two putt from about 100 feet. I know there's a long way across there. And then he putted down to probably 2.5 feet. Did you think, that's it, good try, Jordan, better luck next time?
If I'm being totally honest, I took that off and I was ready to shake his hand. Then once that happened, you just have to sort of regroup and go back to the tee and just take the chance.
Did you actually take your hat off before he putted?
Yeah, I did, to be honest.
See, that is the magic move. The magic move is to take your hat off and let the other... If the other guy just catches you in the corner of his eye and he says, he thinks it's over, you just create a little bit of uncertainty. Oh, that's a canny move, Jordan Smith.
I don't think I was in his eye line or anything, so I'm not sure he saw.
I know at the start of the season we had a chat with you and you said, yeah, my main aim is to win. You know, we all say that, but can you believe it came round this quickly?
Well, I had a really good start to the year. I mean, I've been playing really good golf. I managed to secure my tour card pretty quickly. So the next goal was to win. I've been putting myself there or thereabouts in the mix quite a few times. So I was definitely going into each week with a lot of confidence, thinking that I could win. And it just happened to all come together this week. So I'm very, very happy with the way it's gone.
Playing with Rory McIlroy in South Africa must have helped.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was a massive learning curve for me, and it just set me up for the rest of the year and gave me a lot of experience sort of dealing with being in the final group and being amongst the big crowds and big names.
You had a very consistent Middle East swing. That must have sort of made you feel like you belonged on the European Tour, because that's quite a feeling, isn't it, amongst the tour pros?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, obviously they're tough courses out there, and it's a nice little stretch of golf. And I've just been playing very consistently and been playing well for the last couple of years. So it's been a steady progression, and it all seems to be going in the right direction.
Jordan, what did you learn about yourself yesterday?
Well, just learned that I can win on tour, and it's sort of proven that, and hopefully that means that I can go on and win many more.
So you're not looking behind you. You got your card, you got your exemption for a few years. What are you looking for now? You're looking ahead all the time, and what you can win next.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last week's got me into USPGA next week. So you never know, going in with a lot of confidence and playing good, you never know what might happen.
Are you allowing yourself to think Ryder Cup?
Not at the moment, no. Obviously, that's one of the dream goals, but I've just got to see how the rest of this year goes, to be honest, and just keep playing the way I'm playing. And if that keeps going the way it is, then you never know.
You're now one of a really strong bunch of young English players out on the tour. That must feel pretty good as well.
Yeah, no, a lot of them I've sort of played amateur golf with and played in England setups with and Walker Cup. So it's nice to see them doing well and inspire me to sort of get to their level.
So you're making your way back home now in the car as we speak. Then you're going to get back to your family and everyone that loves you. What sort of a celebration will you have, do you think?
It could be anything, to be fair. I think my mum's at work, so I'll have to probably pop in and see her at work, and she'll probably get in floods and tears because she's pretty emotional like that. But no, it'd be nice either one.
It's a beautiful old trophy, the European Open trophy. It goes back years and years and years. Lots of great names on it, and your name's on there now. But if it was something like, if it was a vessel like the claret jug, what would be your tipple to pour into it to celebrate drinking out of it?
I'd probably have to fill it with maybe like Disaronno and Coke or something, Amaretto and Coke.
Amaretto and Coke. Not much sugar in that, is there?
it's pretty sweet, but it's a joy to drink.
It's a joy to drink. Listen, you were a joy to watch over the 4 days in Germany. A fantastic win, Jordan. And we're looking forward to what unfolds over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you very much.
You remember that, Jamie, the sort of the high that you're on after you win?
Yeah, I do, Rob. Yeah, and as you do as well. So,
loads of times.
Great. Yeah, great memories. I remember when I won in Switzerland, the European Masters, first time I went back to the airport with a load of Canon goodies who were sponsoring the event. That was, you can't wait to get home, can you, and share it with your friends and family.
Well, that's right. It's a very special time, and it is. He's right. It is a bit of a blur, because you try and piece it all together, because it happens very quickly.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a surreal
when you're in
experience.
That place, that competitive place, it's very quick. Things happen so fast.
And when he gets back out on the range and everyone comes up to him and congratulates him, that's a bit surreal as well. So it might take a few weeks to calm down.
It's quite nice. The next week when you
although as he said, USPGA
could be USPGA.
Yeah, be away in America. He's sort of away from it a little bit, isn't he? So that might be a good thing for him.
He'll have a little time at home, perhaps, to enjoy.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of social media action regards the Jordan Smith win. Here's a couple. Eddie Pepperell said yes at J Smith Golf, you beauty. 9 champagne bottle emojis from him. Ricardo Gouveia said inspirational stuff from at J Smith Golf. Well done to you and Harry. Enjoy the celebrations. And Europe's Ryder Cup captain, who has to tweet now every week at the winner because he is the Ryder Cup captain, and he's just letting them know he's in his sights. Well done at J Smith Golf. Brilliant. Winning what's been a long week. Big talent. Also another great week for at Alex Levy Golf, which plays into your theory. The Alex Levy inclusion in the next Ryder Cup team in France, in Paris, would be special.
It's Thomas's job to engage with all of our top stars, and that's what he's going to do. He wants to build a great team atmosphere, and the team's going to look different. So, you know, I think Levy would be a great player in the Ryder Cup team, but, you know, there's no points yet, so he's got to play some Good stuff. They're starting in Denmark. Oh, no, they're not. They're starting in Czech.
Yeah, so that's...
finishing in Denmark the following year.
You know, that's around the corner. And then how quick does that year go?
It goes very quickly.
You know, you think four, we're a year away from the Ryder Cup. All of a sudden, you're there.
Nice to be playing well, though, going into it.
It couldn't be better, could it? Just couldn't be better. Absolutely fantastic news for Jordan Smith and the likes of Alex Levy, who we're going to hear from now, who nearly defended his title.
Yeah, it was really nice. I'm really proud with what I did today. I shoot 3-under in this position. It was really, really tough. I really, really play well, and I think it's a lot of good things coming for me the next few months.
What's been the best part of the game this week for you?
I think it was the long game. I hit some pure shot. I struggled a bit today on the putting, but I think I play really good golf, and I improve my game week after week. That's good. That's really nice.
It's obviously a bit of pressure coming back as a defending champion, but you know, you nearly won it for a second year running, so you must be very proud with that as well.
Yeah, I don't feel a lot of pressure. My dream was just to win this tournament and for my birthday present in 2 days, and I didn't do that, but I'm really pleased with what I did, and I'm really happy.
Thanks to Mark Tompkins for troweling out the top interviews. Really good to hear Alex Levy, and very philosophical about it, the whole thing.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he didn't seem too disappointed, did he? It was a great defence of his title. He's done well this year already, so there'll be other things to come from Alex Levy before the end of the season, I'm sure.
Did you, as a sort of a little snippet of what other things happened, did you see the hole-in-one from Marcel Seam?
I did. I watched it on the tour website. Which you can all go to.
Or did you go to the European Tour Twitter site maybe and see it on
no,
there?
No, I watched it on the tour website. Could have watched it either, yes.
Slam dunk, never hit the side. Well, it actually did hit the side when it bounced off the flag.
Yeah, it was a credible shot, wasn't it?
7-iron.
Straight in. 7-iron, was it? Yeah. It's unusual to get that much elevation, but to go slamming into the bottom of the hole.
I know.
And won a nice car.
Very nice car.
A lot of high fives.
From the sponsor, funnily enough.
Yeah.
We can say Porsche on this show.
Can we say that?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. So he won a nice Porsche.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, and he looked...
Could you say his shot was right on target?
Very good, Robert. Okay. Yes, yes. It was a Carrera shot.
Well, it was indeed, yes. Great hole-in-one from him. And other little funnies, we had Patrick Reed across from America, who was in the field. Jimmy Walker was in the field, and Patrick had an albatross.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. How many albatrosses you had?
Including the last one.
Including any of them?
None.
Excellent. But hole-in-ones, you've a plenty, aren't you?
I can't reach par fives. What do you
That's
think
true.
I am?
What about hole-in-ones?
I've had five.
Have you? That's pretty good.
How many
good.
Have you had?
None. Hey! Give us some of the top 10. In fact, all the top 10, please, Jamie.
You want them all, do you?
Yes.
Not just the odd few, two or
no,
three.
No, not a smattering, just all of them.
All of them, okay. Well, in tied eighth place was Mikko Ilonen, Richie Ramsey, Ashley Chesters, disappointing day for him yesterday, 72, and Luca Cianchetti.
Cianchetti, it's the other way around.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, I know your Italian background would have got me out of trouble there.
Yep.
Joint fifth, Xander Lombard, Adrian Ortegi, and Jens Fabring, who hit that ball into the sign, and it stayed in there.
That's right. Another thing I've never seen before.
Never seen that before.
Temporary movable obstruction.
And it's in there.
Yeah,
well, there you go. That was interesting. Tied third was Sidika Raman and Johan Edfors. Great week for Johan. Nice to see him back. Runner-up, Alexander Livy, and our champ, Jordan Smith.
On the fancy race to Dubai tips, we had Richard Kaufman going for Richie Ramsey, tied for eighth on -9. Paul Eales went for Torbjørn Erlesen, 37th on 3-under par. So a resounding victory for the Kaufman. In the fancy race to Dubai game, Elizabeth H heads the global standings, while Tim Eldridge won the most points last week. And in the Race to Dubai Show Mini League, the Sean Ryder Cup, Neil Morrison leads the way, but Tom Davis scored the most points from the Porsche European Open. Remember to head to europeantour.com for the Fantasy 3 to watch at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, which we will preview in a few minutes' time. Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please. Tommy's still out on top, I think.
Yeah, he certainly is. But in 10th place was Haotong Lee. Great performance in the Open Championship. Peter Uhlein's in 9th. Bernd Wiesberger in 8th. Ross Fisher, 7th. Justin Rose, 6th. Alex Noren in 5th. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, the Scottish champion, 4th. John Rahm in 3rd. Another Spaniard, Sergio Garcia, in 2nd. 3 Spaniards in the top 4. And Tommy Fleetwood is still on number 1.
And sneaking up to 18th position is Jordan Smith after that brilliant win in Germany. So he's on the up and up, heading towards the top 10 in the Race to Dubai. Running along at the same time in Royal Porthcawl in Wales was the Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex. And a tough, tough week with the weather, Jamie. The wind on the first couple of days was horrendous.
Wind all week, Rob, was just strong, really strong. A 2-club wind at least, and at times more than that. It was the rain as well that came down on the first couple of days. Wasn't too bad Saturday or yesterday. They teed off early yesterday. They thought there was a big weather front coming in, so it was windy all week. It was really, really difficult. It's tough. Listen, if you played that Royal Porthcawl without any wind, it's a tough course because there's bunkers everywhere. So with that wind, yeah, tough track.
3 years ago, Bernard Langer shot 18 under par, won by 13, yes. when it was bouncy and hard. This time he wins when it was wet and windy and horrible. Best player still come out on top.
Yeah, I played in that 2014. Only five players broke par and Bernard shot 18 under. Incredible performance.
Can't work that out, can you?
And this year it was the wind and the rain. Only two guys broke par. He's won three senior open titles, one at Carnoustie and two at Porthcawl. So the tougher it gets, the tougher he gets going.
And his 10th senior major.
Yeah, it's an incredible season this year and his 9th season, just winning everything.
I think he's won 37 tournaments as a senior. Maybe that's his 38th. 32 Champions Tour, 5 European Tour. This might be 6 now.
Yeah, but over on the European senior tour, Carl Mason's won 25 events. That's incredible. You think you struggle all your career to win one or two, which he did on the main tour, and then he won 25. And Bernard Langer, as great a player as he has been, he just seems to be getting better and better. I wonder how he'd get on the main tour if he played in a few events. He'd do all right, you know.
He would do all right. He's you can use Miguel Angel as a sort of yardstick, can't you?
Yeah.
He's going to be 60 next month.
Could he win an Open?
Could he win an Open?
Tom Watson nearly won an Open at the age of, 61, wasn't he?
I think Bernard Langer could win an Open.
Well,
because he's not short.
Well, Carnoustie next year. If it's firm and running a bit, he doesn't want it soft and playing long. But if it's firm and running, there's no one with a better golfing brain than Langer, is there?
There can't be anybody in the game that's ever played with it. Well, maybe Jack.
He just manages his game so well. He's still fit. He's fit. He looks younger than ever.
He looks the same as he's looked for the last 20 years, Bernard.
He does, yeah.
Body, same trouser, same belt hole in the loop.
And do you know what? He didn't play that well yesterday, but he just made a load of pars. He only made his only birdie on the last short par 5.
He reminds me, it's probably the other way around, but I see similarities between Jordan Spieth and Bernard Langer in as much as it's not about range perfection or, you know, having a swing that's been Botoxed. It's about playing the game, and they reduce it down to how do I get this done from here? How do I do this? How do I get a 4 here? That's what they do.
Well, there is that similarity. I think Spieth's far more dynamic than Langer. Personally, he just makes things happen. He makes eagles and this, that, and the other. The other thing they got in common is they're very, very slow. They're never going to hit anything rushed. They're not going to beat themselves. And I think that's the similarity between the two players.
Let's hear from Bernard.
Feels great. It's wonderful to be back here in Wales on a beautiful championship golf course here at Royal Porthcawl. And it's always great to win, obviously. Another major. This is my third one of the year. Could have won 4, actually, but very happy with 3. So it's been an amazing run. And I'm very pleased and very blessed.
Royal Porthcawl, a great golf course. What does this place mean to you?
Well, it's very special. It was special before, but now having won, you know, 2 senior opens, it means even more so. And then they gave me an honorary membership a few days ago. So it's certainly way up there amongst the courses I've played around the world. I'm just going to enjoy the victory and, hopefully we'll come back here sometime.
He'd be a good partner to pull in a four-ball competition, wouldn't he?
Winter League, turn up with Bernard.
Who are you playing with? Oh, I'm playing with Langer. Tremendous, wouldn't
That'd
it?
That'd be great.
Yeah, obviously he loves the golf course, and you get to play. Certain places around the world really suit you for some reason. Maybe you don't even know why. Obviously he loves that place.
Well, it is similar to Carnoustie in that it's just the tough start. I mean, it really is. I mean, they start on the 18th, which is where the members play. It's a long par 4 down the hill. But then the next 4 holes are difficult. If you get through the first 5 holes, level, 1 over even, you've done all right. They give you a couple of chances, the 18th and the 6th, the short 5s. Yeah. And you can reach those. They're normally downwind coming off the sea. But honestly, Rob, there's every green, the ball just runs off it into these bunkers.
Par 3s are good too, aren't they?
Brilliant par
3s. Yeah, brilliant par
3s. It's a great course.
Top 10, please, at the Senior Open Championship, presented by Rolex.
In tied 9th, Billy Mayfair and David McKenzie from Australia had a hole-in-1 on the 8th yesterday. 6th, 3 Europeans, Miguel Angel Martin, Magnus Levy and Phil Price, who won recently on the Senior Tour. Good week for Phil. Tied 3rd, Billy Andrade, Peter Lonnard and Freddie Couples, who started with 275s, Freddie Couples. So to finish level par at the weekend was brilliant.
Commendable. I would have thought it was far too cold for Freddie.
I would have thought so. Well, I followed him on course and he first 2 days he looked pretty miserable, but 8-under at the weekend was incredible. Corey Pavin he came runner-up, played some amazing shots. Corey, he was miles behind the others, but he just hit these little hook woods and cut woods into the greens. Incredible performance from him. Great to watch. And Bernard, again, 4-under par, he's our champ.
Now, the Race to Dubai's Gordon Brand Jr. and Paul Leels were taking part for at least 2 days down in Royal Porthcawl. They both shot 14 over par, pair of 78s apiece, and that missed the cut by a shot, 14 over. But there'll be other events, surely, for Gordon Brand Jr. and for Paul Leels as well. Now, on the Challenge Tour, Tanner Ogoa won the Swedish Challenge hosted by Robert Karlsson by 3 shots. Not surprising, really, after a 7-under par 65 in his final round, the lowest of the day. It's the comeback trail for Tanner, who has a win on the European Tour, but he said yesterday that he nearly gave the game up last year, so that's come at just the right time.
Yeah, I spoke to him this morning because I know Tanner pretty well. So absolutely delighted for him. He moves up to 11th on the rankings on the Challenge Tour. So he's put himself in a great spot to get a car.
He's set up now, isn't he?
He really is. He's got to go for it now because he hits it great.
Yeah.
Iron control. He's got all the touch around
plenty
the green.
Plenty of strength.
He's fit. He's got everything going for him. So hopefully this will be better things for him.
Yeah, let's hope it's the turning of the corner for Tanner Ogoa. Now, Masters champion Sergio Garcia has confirmed he will play at the British Masters supported by Sky Sports at Close House in Northumberland, England, at the end of September. Meanwhile, American Pat Perez has joined the European Tour as an affiliate member for the remainder of the 2017 season. Perez has won twice on the US PGA Tour, most recently last November. The 41-year-old is in the world's top 50 and follows compatriot Kevin Na and Japan's Hideto Tanihara in taking up affiliate membership with the European Tour this season. On the PGA Tour, Johnny Vegas beat Charlie Hoffman in a playoff to defend his RBC Canadian Open title. Vegas carded a 7-under par 65 to make up 3 shots on overnight leader Hoffman and tie on 21-under at Glen Abbey, the Venezuelan, making a birdie on the first playoff hole to seal victory. Great news for Ian Poulter. We saw how well he played at the Players' Championship when he finished second, and now he was third in Canada after a final round of 64. That was the lowest round of the tournament.
Great to see Poulter back, play well at the Open.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Played very well at the Open, had a chart, put himself right in the mix there.
Yeah.
So good to see Poults back.
Been a good turnaround, hasn't it?
Great turnaround. And he's jumped up from 184 in the world ranking at the start of season to 62nd. So he's really going the right way.
Yeah.
Delight for him. He's really dedicated himself back to the game.
Pleased for him, Poulter. Very pleased for him, that's for sure. Jamie, you mentioned Poulter up to just outside the top 50. Top 10, please.
Well, there's a lot of good players just outside the top 10, including Kuchar, Fowler, Rose and Justin Thomas. But the top 10 starts with the US Open champion, Brooks Koepka, 2 Swedes at 9 and 8, Norren and Stenson, Jason Day's at 7. Then we go with 2 Spaniards, Jon Rahm at 6, Sergio the Masters champion at 5, Rory's at 4, Matsuyama's dropped down to 3 because of Jordan Spieth's win at the Open. He's in 2nd, and Dustin Johnson, by a couple of points, is still number 1.
Excellent, Jamie, excellent. Now, this week, the world's best players come together in Ohio for the 3rd WGC event of the year, the Bridgestone Invitational at the Firestone Country Club. You might have played around there. Have you played Firestone?
No, I qualified 1 year, but I didn't play.
You didn't play?
I didn't play, no.
It used to be...
Miles, isn't it?
It used to be a monster. It isn't anymore, but it used to be a monster golf course.
It's a 61 of a Lazabelle that jumps to my mind years ago.
With the old equipment?
With the old equipment.
Steel-shafted, wooden-headed
clubs.
Probably
one of the best scores we've seen.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jose Mariola. No one believed it when he shot that 61.
No.
What, around Firestone?
But now with the modern equipment, the distance they're hitting, it's sort of become playable, isn't it? And we've still seen some great things with Shane Lowry's win a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And Tiger just used to dominate this event. So, and they're all playing, Rob.
Yeah, 16th hole is 667 yards. But after last week in Hamburg, that's sort of normal par 5 fare.
Yeah, just a drive and a pitch.
Yeah, but it's hard to say it's a risk and reward par 5 because
people don't
really shoot at the green too.
Well, you get a shoot off that downslope, can't you?
If you hit a long one, yeah, but it's actually staying on the fairway is so difficult.
It is, yeah. It's not a sort of hole that you want to put yourself under too much stress on, is it? You just want to get it down. And even when you're pitching into the green, you see balls spinning off it into the water. So, yeah, it's got its place in the calendar now, this Bridgestone. It's something you look forward to.
And it's got that iconic water tower up behind the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Beautiful looking thing it is.
Yeah.
And they're going to dedicate a bridge on the 16th to Arnold Palmer after his passing in recent months. So there's going to be a plaque put there. Palmer won 3 times at Firestone and he died, gosh, is that September now, when he passed away at 87 years of age? That's almost a year ago.
Yeah, it is.
That's ridiculous.
And it was nice at the Open that he had Palmer's name on the side of the boards there by the 18th, surrounding it as well. So, yeah, They're doing their bit for Arnold, and so they should.
Yeah, so top field again at the WGC, of course.
Oh, well, they're all there, aren't they? Difficult to pick out a winner. Spieth's going to be playing after his week of fishing. Dustin Johnson, how's he going to play Dustin Johnson? He played all right at the Open, to be fair. All the top players that we've talked about, they're all playing. So it's obviously you've got to hit the ball quite long round there.
It's still a course where length does help. There's no doubt about it, yeah.
You have to give it a bit of a hit, but you've got to play as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Most of the course runs up and down in opposite directions. Most of it does.
And there's a lot of form players going into this, so not easy to pick out winners.
No, but obviously I'm going to ask you.
You are.
And our producer's very generous when the big events come around.
Oh, is he?
He gives you two picks.
Oh, is he? I'm going to pick Justin Thomas. His control worries me at times, but I think he might be inspired by Spieth.
I tell you what does help around that golf course is a high ball flight, and he hits it high.
Yeah, well, he's on his tiptoes when he hits it on both feet. It's incredible.
Yeah, but I don't know what he weighs. He cannot
ten
weigh.
Stone.
Yeah, maybe 11 stone tops. He can't weigh more than that.
And he hits it miles.
Oh,
he?
It's so far he hits it.
I just think this is the sort of venue he could do well. It's going to be soft. You know, always very humid and hot. He'd be used to all that. So he's my pick from the international players.
Yes.
Shall we say. And then when we go into the European players, I think Cabrera Bayo finishing the top five. He'd be my other one.
So you've got the axis of Thomas and Cabrera Bayo.
I have.
I'm going to go double European because the guy I think is going to win
go on.
Is European.
John Rahm.
I'm going to have John Rahm.
Yeah, I know that. He's your favourite, yeah.
Yeah. And I am going to have a bit of Tommy Fleetwood around there.
You love them both.
I love them both. I'm going to have John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood.
Good for you.
Yes. And I'm going to counter your Thomas Cabrera Bayo axis with those two. So I've got my European Tour hat on.
Bring it on.
And I should have it on.
We both have.
Yes, you have. You went for an American. You could have had two Europeans, but you went for an American. That's absolutely fine.
No, you should no one's going to hold it against heart, you. Robert.
No, that's the trouble. That is the trouble. If betting and heart don't go together usually.
No, they don't.
They don't. But when it comes together, Jamie, it's doubly satisfying. That's all I can say.
Well, I'll let you be the judge of that.
Thank you so much. That's it for now. Next week, we'll look back on all the action from the WGC Bridgestone Invitational and preview the year's final major, the US PGA Championship at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. Please rate and review the Race to Dubai show on iTunes, especially if you like it. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Rafa Cabrera Bayo and Justin Thomas,
and myself, Robert Lee, who's gone for John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood, it's goodbye.